Hey everyone, let's take a look at Luke chapter 17, starting in verse 20. Being asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them, "The kingdom of God is not coming in ways that can be observed, nor will they say, 'Look, here it is,' or 'There,' for behold, the kingdom of God is in the midst of you." And he said to the disciples, "The days are coming when you will desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you will not see it. And they will say to you, 'Look there,' or 'Look here.' Do not go out or follow them. For as the lightning flashes and lights up the sky from one side to the other, so will the Son of Man be in his day. But first, he must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation. Just as it was in the days of Noah, so will it be in the days of the Son of Man. They will be eating and drinking and marrying and being given in marriage until the day when Noah entered the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, just as it was in the days of Lot, they were eating and drinking, buying and selling, planting and building. But on the day when Lot went out from Sodom, fire and sulfur rained from heaven and destroyed them all. So will it be on the day when the Son of Man is revealed. On that day, let the one who is on the housetop with his goods in the house not come down to take them away. And likewise, let the one who is in the field not turn back. Remember Lot's wife. Whoever seeks to preserve his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life will keep it. I tell you, in that night, there will be two in one bed. One will be taken and the other left. There will be two women grinding together. One will be taken and the other left." And they said to him, "Where, Lord?" He said to them, "Where the corpse is, there the vultures will gather." So remember, as we've progressed through the Gospel of Luke, there has been this continuing resistance on the part of Jewish leadership, particularly in Luke, the Pharisees. They have grown in resistance to Jesus' message. They've begun to mock. And it's in that context that they ask this kingdom. So they say, the Pharisees ask, "When will the kingdom of God come?" So if we're paying attention to the context, we realize it's not a sincere question. It's a mocking question. It's a cynical question. They don't believe in this kingdom that Jesus is supposedly bringing. And so they're asking in that tone, and I think we need to hear it in that tone. And Jesus says a number of things. First of all, the kingdom of God does not come with easy observation. In other words, it's not something you can, it's a watch pot never boils. In one sense, it's going to come gradually. But in another sense, it's not the sort of thing that you can monitor easily. In fact, remember, Jesus has given many parables already about the kingdom, that it's like leaven in dough. That's not something that you can see at work. You can only see its effects after time. He's given parables of seed. Seed is hidden for much of the time. And so in one sense, he's saying, well, you can't watch it in that way. It's not something that you're going to be able to see in an easily observable way. But in another sense, Jesus is saying, well, the kingdom is right under your noses. It has been all this time. After all, Jesus is the king of that kingdom, and he's right under their nose, and they don't see it. They refuse to listen. Jesus has repeatedly appealed to them, reasoned with them, done signs in the hope of addressing them, given parables in which they were the sort of butt of the parable, trying to get them to see it. And so when Jesus says, and I don't think this is the best translation, when Jesus says, "The kingdom of God is in the midst of you," maybe we could put it this way. The kingdom of God, guys, is right here under your noses. And you're refusing to hear it. It's not coming in an obvious way that beats you on the head, but here I am, the king of the kingdom, inviting you into it. And you refuse to respond to it. So it's important for us to keep in mind, Jesus is not saying the kingdom of God is inside your heart. He's saying the kingdom of God, guys, is right under your noses, and you refuse to respond to it. He then proceeds to tell the disciples, guys, don't worry when people tell you that the time has come, the kingdom has come, because when it is the time for the Son of Man to come, you won't be able to miss it. It's not going to be something that that you can avoid. It's not possible to avoid it. And so Jesus is here speaking about the coming of the Son of Man, I would suggest, in judgment. And notice the two The two stories from the Old Testament he uses to illustrate it. One is the story of Noah, in which life was going on as usual, and then the judgment suddenly came. And after all, Noah was preaching for many years by the building of the ark, but when the judgment finally came, that world was wiped out and a new world begun. How about Lot? The story of Lot was the story of Sodom, and life was going on as usual, and then the Son of Man came, and there was judgment on Sodom. Lot left it, and a new world was born. And so Jesus is saying, look, when I show up in judgment, at any point in history. And here, I don't believe Jesus is speaking primarily of the fulfillment of history. He's speaking of the judgment that he has been promising all along on Jerusalem and Jerusalem not bearing the fruit. So he says, listen, when that day comes, no one will be able to miss it. Do not worry. And if I could just relate this to the prior image that Jesus gave, if you had faith as small as a mustard seed, you could say to a mulberry tree, be planted in the ocean. It's an image of Israel. Jesus is saying, listen, the mulberry tree that is Israel is going to be uprooted and cast into the sea of the Gentiles because Jerusalem is going to be judged because she did not know the time of her visitation. And it's there that we, I think, can make sense of Jesus' comments about, hey, when you see this happening, if you're on the roof, don't go and get your belongings. The point is this. God was bringing judgment on Jerusalem and the temple in Jerusalem because it had not borne the fruit that God wanted it to bear. And if you are so insistent on holding on to your place, the leadership of the Israelites, if you are so insistent on holding on to your position and your place of power and your place of influence and your place of comfort and your place of privilege, you're going to lose everything because God has come to prune, to uproot this fruit tree so that, or we could say prune it so that God's people will bear fruit. So he says, don't go down and get your belongings because Jerusalem is going to be destroyed. It's going to be utterly wiped out by the Romans. Said another way, don't hold on to your life as you know it. Lot's wife looked back, and I don't think the point was the physical looking back so much as she wasn't willing to give up the comforts, the security, maybe the status that she held in Sodom, the reputation that she had in people's eyes. And so she pined for that and she received judgment. So Jesus is warning his disciples, the mulberry tree is getting ready to be uprooted. The Son of Man will come. Now, again, I think we can learn from this principles about the final coming of the Son of Man. But I would suggest the primary thing Jesus is getting at is that it's the end of one world. It's the end of the temple system in Jerusalem. And God is building a new community and a new temple system built around Jesus, his son, and around the people that see him and know he is the temple and themselves are being integrated into a temple that he is building where there is honesty and forgiveness and service and love. And so may we see the king in our midst that's right under our noses and our brothers and our sisters. May we receive the King that is here. He's hidden in our hearts. He's hidden in one another, who will one day make clear who he is and what his kingdom is about. Amen.